sun sets and the twilight settles, we're left with only darkness and whatever lurks within it. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Dark Hour on KBFL 105.5, Seattle's number one spot for late night radio. I'm your host, Annie Corundin, and tonight we're welcoming back Elder Sign Studios to the airwaves. You can learn more about their show by searching for their website at eldersignstudios.com. Now, tonight on the Dark Hour, Elder Sign Studios presents Elder Sign, starring Shelby Sloan as Hazel Blair, Arthur Morton as Jason Reed, and Alan Thomas as Davis Long, featuring narration provided by Elder Sign veteran David Zyper. This week, we continue with Elder Sign's first arc entitled The Return. This is Elder Sign. We hope you enjoy.
Heavy raindrops pelted Hazel as she walked through the cemetery parking lot, night settling in around her. She shivered as the rain soaked through her peacoat and black dress, but her face kept that same cold expression. All she wanted to do was leave. She had parked her car beneath an old street lamp, orange light illuminating the entire area around her. Lit by the orange glow of the Gothic light, Hazel stared back at her own reflection. And that's when she did feel something, son. Disgust.
Hazel!
Behind her, Jason steadily walked through the lot of parked cars, rushing toward her and leaving the dreary cemetery behind.
Hazel, wait!
Leave me alone, Jason.
Listen, I know I shouldn't have come, but I'm not just here to see you.
Of course you're not.
Hazel, please, this is important. I really need to talk to you. Something's happened.
I said, leave me alone.
Hazel. Look, I get it. You blame me for what happened with the Black Pillar, and I understand the things between us are... I know you don't want to see me, but I need you to listen to me.
Listen to you? Why the hell should I listen to you?
Hazel.
Don't! It's been months, and still no one's done shit to find him.
Find him? We don't even really know what happened.
I know what happened. I saw it. We could have saved him, Jason, but instead you were a fucking coward. And when I needed you, when Patrick needed you, you were too late. It's your fault. He's dead. And I don't want to deal with your shit anymore. I'm done talking to you. Now fuck off, Jason.
Do you still have it?
Have what?
You know what I'm talking about, the book.
I told you. After that night, I got rid of it. It was nothing but a fucking problem.
And you're not lying.
Why would I lie? Why the hell are you even asking me about it, Jason? When did you suddenly start giving a shit?
Let me ask you another question. Do you know how Veronica Bluthen died?
Of course I do, Jason. What kind of question is that? Everyone knows what happened.
How'd she die then?
She killed herself. From what I read, she jumped out of the fifth-story window of her state-appointed nursing home and hit the concrete head first. Happy? Now leave me the fuck alone. What are those?
Why don't you have a look for yourself?
A crime scene report? For what?
For the scene at Veronica Bluthen's room. Hazel, this is why I've been trying to get a hold of you. Veronica Bluthen didn't kill herself. Someone pushed her out of that window.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that Veronica Bleathen was murdered. And I think you know by whom.
The same men from the hospital.
Well, maybe not those same guys, but I think it was all ordered by the same person.
The man the hitman mentioned. Someone named Smalls. Does the chief know about this?
Mm-hmm. So does Captain Monroe. The department put out a fake lead to the media saying it was a suicide, make them think he got away with it.
Why do you want to know about the book?
Because, Hazel, something tells me they killed Veronica Bleathen because of that damned book. And if I'm right, this Smalls guy will do anything to get it. Even kill. I wanted to make sure you didn't have it. I had to make sure you wouldn't get mixed up in all this and, you know, get hurt. You may hate me, but I definitely don't hate you. This is Detective Reed. Oh, yes, Sergeant. A homicide? Where? That's about 20 minutes from me right now. Are you sure? Yes, sir, you got it. I'm on my way. It was good to see you again, Hazel, despite everything. Try and take care of yourself.
You need me.
Did you say something?
You need me. I need to be on this case.
But you just got done explaining to me that...
If you're right, Jason, if this guy is still looking for the book, then he wants it for something. Something very bad.
What do you mean, something bad?
If he was willing to kill for it, Jason, there's something in it he wanted. He's not gonna just stop because I destroyed it. He'll find another way to do whatever he's planning.
Well, hold on.
Jason, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into with him. I do. If anyone can figure out who he is and what he's really planning, it's me. Not you or any of the other idiots at that station. Me. You need me.
And, what if I said we don't need you?
Doesn't matter to me. I work around you idiots all the time. It's never stopped me before.
So you really think you can help?
You know I can. And so do I.
All right. Prove it.
Excuse me?
I just got called to a scene down by Lake Union. Come with me. Work the case. Prove you can work with us and not run off again like you did before.
Are you serious? No, I'll just find Smalls myself.
We'd be willing to pay.
God damn it. Which car are we taking?
Jason smiled, his attention focused on Hazel, never seeing the bald man near the entrance of the graveyard. The man stood, watching Jason and Hazel discuss something across the parking lot. The lit cigarette perched on the edge of his lip, ashed onto the wet sidewalk. Smoke plumed over the rim of his black umbrella. From the darkness, he watched the two investigators slip inside Jason's car, driving off toward the city. His attention turned from Jason's car to another vehicle parked near the entrance. Its black frame hid under the cover of darkness, its appearance inconspicuous, almost normal. The man walked away from the graveyard, leaving the headstones and eerie statuary behind. His focus was the black car, and the woman he knew would be inside it. He took one last drag of his cigarette as he walked, the flared tip burning brightly in the chilly autumn air. He tossed the finished butt onto the concrete as he finished his walk toward the passenger side door. And as smoke escaped his mouth and nostrils, he opened the car door and slipped inside.
Well?
It's her.
And you're sure about this?
I'm sure. Looks like you were right. He let us ride to her.
Does she have it?
Not on her. She has it, though. I'm sure of it.
Don't worry. We'll find it.
On that cold fall evening, Westlake Avenue was a nightmare of traffic and flashing lights. Horns blared and people shouted as police redirected civilians away from a blocked-off portion of the street. It appeared that they had cordoned off almost four blocks of the Lakeside Road, forcing everyone to go around. Everyone but Jason Reed, who drove both him and Hazel past the blockade and into the empty patch of burning jungle. Both of them stepped out into the rain to see nothing. Only empty squad cars and forensic vans seemed to litter the desolate street.
Where is everyone?
I don't know.
Reed!
Davis's voice echoed in from down the empty street, and through the darkness, Hazel spotted him.
I guess that's him, down there by that construction yard.
I think you're right. Come on, let's see what this is all about.
This better be worth it.
I'm sure it will be. Sergeant Long!
Good to see you, Reed. What the hell? What is she doing here?
Good to see you too, Davis.
I thought we'd finally gotten rid of you permanently, Blair.
I brought her on, sir. I thought she may be able to help us.
We don't need help, Reed.
I already got this cleared, sir.
It doesn't matter. I'm your superior, and I don't really appreciate people who go over my head. You should have let me know before bringing some PI parasite to my scene.
Sir, please, give her a chance.
Fine. Welcome to the worst night of your career, Blair.
What?
Scene's in here.
In there?
That's right. Get in. Walk with me.
So the scene's here inside the construction yard?
It's actually inside that.
Davis pointed to a half-built office building, which stood among the yard equipment like a dead concrete beast.
About 45 minutes ago, an officer on patrol found a car, a 2010 Honda CRV, parked literally in the middle of the road. Its driver door was open, and when he stopped to see if anyone was with the vehicle, he found blood covering the front seat.
Did we run plates?
Car is registered to a George Stance and a Brianna Carberry. We checked out their address in Bellevue, but they weren't there.
Davis led them out of the rain and into the huge framework of the unfinished building. He guided them through rows and rows of scaffolding, tarps acting as makeshift walls flapping in the wind. Beams of orange light seemed to dance across the concrete ceiling as the three investigators walked deeper into the complex.
If the officer found a car with blood in it out on the street, why are we in here?
Not long after he called in the car, that same officer said he heard something inside the construction yard.
What did he hear?
He says he heard muffled screams. When he entered the yard, they stopped. Then he went inside this room.
Davis pushed aside a heavy blue tarp, revealing a nearly finished lobby. Inside, forensics were hard at work, while officers set up powerful construction lights to illuminate the room. The scene itself was at the very center of the room. Hazel's eyes were first drawn to the room's center by the large fountain, which jutted from the ground like a colossal metal tree. But then her eyes sank down toward the piece's base, at the small bloodied arm that dangled from the fountain's basin.
And the officer found her.
The her Davis was referring to was a young teenage girl whose crumpled body lay lifeless inside the fountain.
Her name was Harley Jones. She was 14.
God.
Hazel began to walk forward, her mind pushing her to see what really lingered beyond the rim.
We've informed her parents. It turns out she lived only half a mile away. She just got done at some indoor pool a couple blocks up and was heading home when she was attacked.
Oh. Oh my God.
What Hazel found inside the fountain's basin were Harley's grotesque remains. It appeared, son, that she had been completely ripped apart. Her abdomen had been ruptured and her innards were splayed out all along the basin's tiles. What little skin she had left hung loosely from her arms and legs like torn ribbons. Her face was now just bloody muscle, teeth, and huge, unblinking eyes. Hazel took a step back. This kind of brutality was something she hadn't seen in a very long time.
Jesus Christ.
God, it looks like she's been...
devoured.
Unfortunately, that's what we believe happened. According to the medical examiner, it looks like she was eaten alive. Right here at the bottom of the fountain.
Any leads so far?
Just one. Our killer's a male. We found a man's size 10 boot print near an exit.
And that's it?
That's it. We've got no shots from traffic cameras. No witnesses who saw our perp. No surveillance footage from the bank next door. No physical evidence linking anyone to this. And worst of all, no motive. We've got nothing, Reed.
Well, I've got one thing. He's gonna need to go to a hospital. And soon.
What are you talking about, Blair?
It looks like Harley Jones's entire insides were devoured. Her liver, gallbladder, kidneys, her stomach.
Get to the point.
That is the point. He ate everything, including her stomach acid.
What?
You, officer, call the station. I need people making calls to every hospital in the county. We're looking for a guy with acid burns. Go! All right, we need to act on this before our guy disappears permanently. I'm going to call Kindred Hospital. It's the nearest emergency room that can handle acid burns. If he's not at Kindred, he's going to go rooting around the free clinics.
Perfect for the don't ask, don't tell treatment.
Exactly. I want you both to start calling and visiting those clinics. Any within a 3-mile radius of this spot. Go as far north as Green Lake and as far south as Town Hall if you have to.
What about Harley Jones' parents? Do you think they'll go to the press?
No, and we're making damn sure that they won't. If the press gets a hold of this, it'd be a mess. We're talking mass hysteria in Seattle, Bellevue, hell, even fucking Tacoma. A killer is one thing, but a cannibalistic killer? The media will have a goddamn field day with that. The last thing we need is the station being flooded with calls about this. We need to keep it quiet, and we need to keep it professional. Got it, Blair?
Me?
Blair, you're the most incompetent, reckless, immoral investigator I've ever met. Hell, probably every uniform from Anchorage to Sacramento knows that. Now, if Reed thinks you can handle yourself so goddamn well, who am I to stop him?
But, sir...
I'm not finished, Reed. Listen to me very closely, you two. You think you can handle this? Fine. But if this goes to hell, I'm pointing the finger at both of you. So in case I didn't get through to you, let me make it real simple to understand. You fuck this up, and I'll make sure both of you never work again. Period. Got it? Good. Now get to those clinics and ask around. We need answers before this guy surfaces again.
The University of Washington's campus was almost completely empty at that time of night, but as the rain continued to pour outside, one woman, Dr. Mina Calding, was preparing for tomorrow's lesson plan in her lecture hall. She drew chemical processes along with diagrams for neurological procedures on the whiteboard of the classroom. It seemed she was the only person left in the entire building until...
I'll be out in just 1 minute. I'm just finishing up.
Dr. Calding?
Yes?
She turned around to see a man in soaked, ill-fitting clothes. His body looked strange, mainly because of his large, swollen gut, which pushed against the soaked red and gray fabric of his sweatshirt. The man kept every inch of his body entirely covered. His head was hidden by the sweatshirt's hood, and his hands were drawn up into the red sleeves, like he was hiding something.
Can I help you?
You look the same. She said you wouldn't.
Who said that? Do I know you?
I need help. I could only remember you.
The stranger took a step toward the doctor, who took a step back in response.
They did something to me.
How did you get in here?
I can't stop myself. She won't let me.
Wait. Your voice.
The doctor's eyes lowered to the sweatshirt sleeves, and that's when she noticed something dripping from inside the sleeve and hitting the ground. Looking down, she quickly realized that the sweatshirt wasn't originally red. It was stained in blood.
Oh my God.
God, she won't stop screaming.
Stay away from me.
No. Don't hurt her.
The doctor screamed as she watched the creature's hands emerge from the sleeves. Its fingers were grotesque. Once they may have appeared human, but now they had been surgically melded together to create a monstrous claw. Its skin was warped and pale, long, swirling burn scars wrapping up its arms.
Please! Doctor!
The fingers wrapped around the bottom of the sweatshirt's fabric, pulling up to reveal...
Oh my God!
Get her out of me!
The sight Dr. Calding witnessed before passing out was atrocious. Her brain could only capture the creature's form in brief flashes, but it was enough to send her over the edge. A grotesque, twisted face, a swollen, translucent sac where its abdomen would have been, filled with horribly malformed organs. Black, biomechanical veins that thrummed and wiggled under the skin. Lastly, she watched as two gray serpentine organs shook violently as they exited a slitted orifice, translucent pus ejaculating from its lips. These would be the last vivid images she would see before everything went black.
Elder Sign is an Elder Sign Studios production, created by Thomas McKean, Toby Riggs, and Lalandra Stratton. It was written and directed by Thomas McKean and edited by Sean Hopkins. Elder Sign stars Shelby Sloan, Arthur Morton, and David Seibert. Featuring the voices of Beau Thompson, Danielle King, Alan Thomas, Tyler Cochran, and Annie Carundin. Music provided by Cryo Chamber Dark Ambiance and Kilimanjaro Dark Jazz Ensemble. You can find out more about each of them in the links below. To learn more about the show, try following Elder Sign on Facebook and Twitter. This is Annie Carundin, and thanks for listening.
She stood in his penthouse foyer, her eyes looking down at the polished tile floor. The only light gleamed from the city vista through the floor-to-ceiling windows of his living room. He sat there on his plush white couch, his bespectacled gaze peering out the windows toward the ocean. He loved the ocean and what hid beneath it.
We've found the woman from the hospital, sir. The one who may have the book.
Are you certain, Delilah?
I am.
Wonderful. Then we can begin.